Part two. Hello, hello. We are here for part two of our 2024 guides. Last week, I did the 2024 guide to Facebook ads and lead generation. This week, I'm doing the guide to Facebook ads for repurposing your content. And then next week is the 2024 guide to Facebook ads and launches, summits, that kind of thing. And before I get into the episode, I don't normally do these little rambles about my own life and thoughts, but I had this thought about the 2000s, the years 2000, and how now I almost exclusively say 2024. I don't say 2024. Yeah, no, that sounds really weird to say 2024, 2024. And ever since 2020, that shift happened. I was having that, like, I'm not even kidding. I was laying in bed, falling asleep, having these thoughts. And I just decided that I would share them with you, apparently. So I was trying to figure out when the shift happened because there's no way I said 2001. And then I was like, well, 2010, maybe, but I don't think so. I think I said 2010 and 2011, 2012, 2015, 2012, I already said that one, 2018, right? But like 2015, 2018, 2019, all of those made sense. So it was almost like the 2000s, from 2000 to 2009, it had to be the 2000s and whatever. And then 2010 to 2019, it was both were acceptable. And I'm not saying that like 2024 isn't acceptable, but I would never say like December 8th, 2024. I wouldn't say that. I'd say December 8th, 2024. Well, maybe I would say 2024. Ugh, I'm feeling very formal saying 2024. But yeah, so my thought in my head was the first 10 years of this millennium, it was definitely 2000s, 2001, 2002. And then in 2010, that continued, but it suddenly became like, quote unquote, okay to say 2010, 2011. And then in 2020, there was like a shift away from 2020 to 2020. And then I wonder if, because like I'm saying, formally, if I was to say the date formally, December 8th, 2024, it is not, it is neither December 8th nor 2024 at this point. So I don't know why that's the date. It's my grandfather's birthday. He passed away in 2017. See, 2017. He passed away in 2017. But his birthday was December 8th. So maybe that's why I'm saying that. I have no idea. Anyway. December 8th, 2024, December 8th, 2024. I don't even know anymore. Like I say the date in full sentence form so infrequently. It's either like the year by itself or the date by itself, but I just don't remember the last time that I was like, what's the date? And I was like, oh, today's December 8th, 2024. Like I would just say that today's December 8th, right? Or today's the 8th, assuming that they know the month. Anyway, those are my thoughts about the date and the 2000s. If you want to be part of that conversation, head to Instagram and send me a DM. Oh my goodness. Okay, let's dive into the actual conversation. Welcome to Market Scale Grow. I'm your host, Jenzaya, and this is a Saturday strategy session where my goal is to bring you practical marketing strategies that you can implement into your business right away. Let's jump in. So the 2024 guide to repurposing Facebook ads specifically for repurposing content. So let's just first talk about what repurposing content means. Then we're going to talk about how ads can support your content and why you want ads to support your content. And then we'll talk about the types of ads that you'll be running and what content to use and all of that, like really important stuff, how you actually would do that. So what does repurposing content even mean? Repurposing content is using the same content in different ways, reusing it, if you will. And in my business, my primary piece of content is this podcast. It goes out every Saturday. We do our Saturday strategy sessions. I love them. If you don't know the story behind that, I've told it a few times, but way long ago, before I first started this podcast, I was consuming podcasts. I still consume podcasts like voraciously. And a lot of podcasts come out on Mondays and Tuesdays. And then there's some on Wednesdays. Actually, I would say that there's more on Wednesdays than Tuesdays. It's like Monday's a lot, Tuesday's a good amount, Wednesday's a lot, Thursday's some, Friday's almost none, and Saturday and Sunday, there is nothing. So by the time Friday rolled around, I was done. I had nothing left to listen to. And so, well, I was like, I'm definitely going to be releasing Saturday episodes. And that's how Saturday Strategy Sessions came to be. So you're welcome if you are listening to this on a Saturday and you have literally nothing else to listen to. I'm your girl for the Saturdays. Okay, so my primary piece of content is this podcast, Saturday Strategy Sessions. And then I turn that into a blog post. And well, the blog post really just houses, it's a bit of a summary, and then it houses the transcript. And then the other way that I repurpose it is through my emails. And my emails go out on Monday afternoons. If you're not subscribed, do it. I'll make sure that there's a link in the show notes, probably for the Facebook ad targeting, because then you get something. You're not just like joining a newsletter for nothing. So the podcast emails go out on Mondays. Now, they're no longer exclusively podcast emails. They're more of a newsletter. They include a marketing tip each week, the podcast shout out, and then what I like to refer to as Gen Z in the Wild, which is basically a collaboration that I am promoting, whether it's a summit that's coming or a podcast episode that I was part of that just released. And sometimes it's a podcast episode that released a while ago, if I kind of need to fill in a blank. And then from there, from my podcast episode, I also create social media content. Now I have a love-hate relationship with Pinterest, where I love to use it as a user and I hate to use it as a business owner. So I wish I had more drive to use it as a business owner, because it's a really great way to repurpose your content. And because it's a search engine, it's a really great way to get that content out for people who are searching for whatever you are creating your content. I do use Instagram. And so I typically will create one to two or more stories. My goal is actually three or four stories a week. I hopefully get two out. And then putting out at least one feed post every single week directly linking to my podcast. That's kind of how I repurpose. Now, I know people who do a way better job, especially with repurposing their content onto social media, where every single week they are putting out a story every single day about their podcast or their blog post, and then they're putting multiple feed posts up every single week. I just don't have the energy or the interest. I don't have a love-hate relationship with Instagram. I do really enjoy Instagram. It just, unfortunately, is not a priority right now. So we repurpose content to increase our output of content without increasing the effort. And also, it helps to increase the percentage of people who are seeing it. And often, it's pretty low. Like on social media, it's somewhere around like 4 to 7% of people see your posts, unless they kind of go viral, and then you obviously get a bit of a bump. But typically, it's about 4% of your people are going to be seeing it. Emails, 20 to 30 to 50% of people are opening those emails. So by using this same content and putting it out to different channels, you are allowing different people to see and interact with the content in different ways. And I do not recommend that you, like, if you put out a blog post for you to copy and paste that blog post into your email and copy and paste the blog post to your social media, you need to take a different spin. And so my podcast is informational. I try to give tangible takeaway tips that you can implement right away in your business. My email is a bit more of a storytelling and cliffhanger kind of, where I talk about the main points, but I don't really give any information. My goal really is to get you to listen to the podcast itself. And then social media, I like to call that like the Cliff's Note version, where it is informational typically and valuable. This is my feed post specifically. I try to make it valuable with the key points, but if you want the full long version, you need to listen to the podcast. My Instagram stories, on the other hand, are a little bit more like cliffhanging. You're not really getting anything. It's just like, we talked about these things. Go listen to the podcast for the full whatever. each of your different platforms that you're on serve a different purpose. The content in my mind is to educate and to inform. My email is to build relationships. My social media is to build relationships and in some ways also drive traffic to other platforms like my podcast and my emails. So just knowing what your goal is for the platform, each individual platform, helps you to decide like what kind of content you are creating for that platform and can guide the repurposing process. Now, I talked about this already last week, but there is definitely like a battle going on right now in the world of online marketing between quality and quantity. There are some people saying quality trumps everything. You want to put out one very, very, very high quality piece of content a month or a quarter or whatever it might be. And it just needs to be really, really, really great. And other people are saying, no, it's quantity. Like get it out every single day. Post, 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 more, more, more. I personally fall somewhere in the middle. You need to have a reasonable quantity of content that's coming out at a regular consistency, kind of like clockwork a little bit, but it also needs to be good quality. It doesn't need to be perfection, but it does need to be quality, because I know when I'm looking for information on something, if I'm doing research, I go to Google, I type in whatever I'm researching, like best yoga pants, let's say, and then I open up the top 10 or 15 results, and I have all of those tabs open, and then I skim each of them. And what I'm skimming, I'm like, oh, this is garbage, this is garbage, this is garbage. And I just close the garbage ones, and then I go back and I actually read the ones that weren't garbage. And so I always imagine that people are doing their research the same way I am. So if they're looking up Facebook ads or something like that, then they'll open up a whole bunch of tabs of information on Facebook ads, skim through, be like, oh, this is garbage, this is garbage, this is garbage. I want to at least get past the garbage filter so that somebody is going to say, okay, there's actually good quality information in this. I'm going to give it a good actual read or actual listen. So that's my personal goal. That's kind of how I'm doing it. I do think it's important to be putting out content regularly, which is why I put out Saturday strategy sessions. And I very rarely miss a week. I say that knowing that we're coming up to the holiday season and I am taking a break over the holiday season. And I actually don't know when I'm coming back after the holiday season. So stay tuned for a surprise return. But I think it is important to be consistent. And I've noticed my consistency has really paid off in the last 6 to 8 months. So having that quantity is important and quality is also important. That being said, how can you increase your quantity without increasing your actual quantity? And that's where ads come in. And what I mean by that is, how can you continue to show up for people? You're in their news feeds, in their Instagram feed, I guess it is, it's still a feed, without you posting 17 times a day. And ads can help you do that. They create what we like to call an omnipresence. And that's like omni meaning all presence. So you're like everywhere. And people start to go, oh, that's Shenzea again. Oh, that's Shenzea again. Not to the point where like, oh, that's Shenzea again. Oh, blah, blah, blah. A couple of months ago, might have been like 6 months ago, 3 to 6 months ago now, there was somebody who was quote unquote retiring. And so she was selling all of her like in the vault courses or whatever for $25 or something. And I'm talking like hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of courses that she was selling as like a quote unquote retirement sale for $25 a pop. And I'm putting all this in quotations because I really don't know if it was real or not. But I saw those ads for at least 6 months. And I remember saying to people, won't she just retire? Like, she's been retiring for so long. Like, just go. Just go retire. Enjoy it. And to be clear, this was someone in their like 20s, maybe 30s. So I have a feeling that it was more like starting a new business or going off in a new venture or whatever it might have been. More so than retirement. But I do remember having that feeling of, oh, just go retire already. Because I had seen her ads so many times. so many times. You don't want that. You just want to be showing up. And so with these ads, when we are repurposing content and using ads to help us do that, we really, really want to ensure that they look like organic feed posts more so than an ad. And the way that you can do that is by using feed posts. And we'll talk about that in a second. Creating this omnipresence and using ads to help you repurpose your content further and to support your content is going to help you build trust and relationships because you're showing up more. And there is tons of research that shows that the more we see a name, the more we see a face, the more we trust the person. It's also going to increase those touch points. And they may be my micro touch points or macro touch points. The difference being a micro touch point, the person probably isn't even conscious that they interacted with you. So they might be mindlessly scrolling and gone past you. They might see your name in an inbox, but they don't actually read your email. Whereas a macro touch point, they're listening to your podcast or reading your blog post or opening and reading the email. They know that they've had an interaction with you. They are consciously having that interaction with you. That's kind of how I would differentiate between a micro or a macro touch point. Creating the ads can help you increase both types of touch points. So somebody is scrolling and they may scroll past your post because it is on brand and potentially has your face in it. They are going to recognize it subconsciously. They may also actually stop scrolling, read the caption, click on the link, whatever it might be, and have a macro touch point with you. And that's great. That's what you want, is increasing those touch points, because the more touch points somebody has with you, the closer they are to purchasing, right? They need to move through that customer journey. And if we can increase their touch points with you, then they will move through the customer journey faster. So ads are going to help with both of those things. They're going to help increase the touch points, which builds the trust, build relationship, especially if you have that high quality content. When somebody clicks on the link in your ad and they're taken to your podcast episode and then they listen and go, wow, this is great, then they're more likely to listen to more episodes or follow you and to build that relationship. So that is really, really important. Okay, so that's the how ads are supporting you and why it's important to use them. Let's actually dive into probably what you want to hear, how you're creating these, what types of ads they are, the criteria, all of that. So I classify content ads into two buckets. The first one is nurture ads, and the second one is visibility ads. From a setup point, they are really, 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 really similar. The main difference between what I would call a nurture ad versus a visibility ad is who is seeing it. A nurture ad is going out to your warm audience to nurture them, whereas a visibility ad is going out to cold people who'd have no idea who you are to hopefully increase your visibility. It can be the exact same ad. It can be the exact same post. So in this is how I do it for my business when I'm going to run this type of ad. I post on social media, as I told you. I post on Instagram with usually a carousel for my podcast. What I will do is I will create an engagement ad for that post, and I use the existing post in my ad. I don't create a new one. I don't add images or ad copy or anything. I just use the post that I already created as an engagement ad with the goal of post engagement. And so that's people liking, commenting, sharing, all of those types of things. So I can use that the exact same podcast post for a nurture ad or for a visibility ad. The difference is the nurture ad, I'm going to send it out to my warm audience. People who have engaged with me recently, and I would say in the last 30 days is typically what I would do. It could be up to like 180 days, whatever you want. I like to keep it a little bit more recent. And so people who have engaged with me in the last 30 to 60 days, get them to see more content. Maybe they missed a podcast episode. Maybe I'm promoting an older podcast episode that they didn't hear. They didn't go back in the archives. Or if they already heard it, it's been 6 months to a year and they might need to hear that episode again, or it would hit differently. They don't even remember listening to it. Who knows? So that nurture ad is going to be nurturing those people. They're more likely to actually look at the ad, to go to the website, because I send people, I don't send them to my podcast directly. I send them to my blog post that's connected with the podcast because it's pixeled on my website, whereas Apple Podcasts and Libsyn and Buzzsprout and all of those podcast players can't be pixeled, but my website can't be. And so I like that it can be pixeled, and that's what you want. So these warm audiences are more likely to read the caption, to go to my website and actually listen to the podcast episode. If I'm running it as a visibility ad, then it's going out to cold people. And cold audiences are people who have never heard of you before. They've never interacted with you before, or maybe they've interacted with you, but it's been an extended amount of time. My goal with those ads is to get as many people to see it as possible. They're less likely to read the caption. They're less likely to go to the blog post. They're less likely to listen to the podcast because they don't know who I am. So they don't have any sort of relationship with me. But once they engage with that visibility post, they're going to start seeing more content from me. They're going to start seeing those nurture ads. They're going to start hopefully seeing lead generation ads. They're going to see posts organically showing up in their feed. And so they've been pulled into my world, and we can start to nurture them in additional ways to get them to the point where they actually would click on the ad, and they would go to the blog post, and they will listen to the podcast episode. So that's how I distinguish between the two. And like I said, the only real difference is the audience. If you want it to be a nurture ad, you're sending it out to warm audiences. If it's more of a visibility ad, it goes out to cold audiences who have never heard of you before. If you are running these ads as visibility ads to people who have never heard of you before, it's extra important that you have lead generation ads set up so that once somebody engages with the content, they start seeing a lead generation ad because they probably aren't on your email list. Well, they've never heard of you before, so they're not on your email list. And getting them on your email list is one of the best ways to build those relationships and nurture them, because you're going to be sending out regular emails and engaging with them in that way. And so if you're going to run visibility ads especially, but also nurture ads, then they should be set up in a way that somebody sees that visibility and engages with that visibility ad, they start seeing lead generation ads. I kind of see it, for whatever reason, as a waterfall or like a slinky. Once it goes down one step, it keeps going down the steps, and like it funnels into it, each other. These are very, very, very similar. In fact, in a lot of ways, they're identical to boosting a post. I don't like boosting a post. I don't encourage people to boost posts. But when you hit that boost a post button, it is an engagement ad. You are promoting the content, the post. So it is very, very similar to what you're doing when you set it up as an engagement ad. I personally just like to go in the back end. You have more control over all of the different options, the audiences, everything. You just have more, way, way, way more control when you go and set it up as an engagement audience than boosting a post. I also find that people who go in and create engagement ads have a better idea and better expectations of what they're going to get than people who boost posts. When you boost a post, I find that people more frequently feel like they're wasting money, and it's probably because they don't really have a good idea of what they're going to get from boosting that post. Whereas if you go in, you set up the engagement ad, because you're making all the choices and all the options and you are in control, you feel more in control and it doesn't feel like as much of a waste. Also, if you're following this, then your plan is to have that lead generation ad set up as well. And so when somebody engages with that ad, they start seeing it, and you'll start to see an increase of people being added to your email list, is the goal. You have to remember that the goal of an engagement post or the goal of boosting a post is to get more engagement on the ad. This ad is not designed to get people to your website. Even though it will increase traffic, that's not the primary goal. The primary goal of this is not to get people onto your email list. It might happen, but it's not the primary goal. The primary goal of this ad is not to make any sales. Truly, these ads that are helping you get more eyes on your content is to get more eyes on your content onto that social media post. That's part of the reason why I recommend having a smaller budget, anywhere from 10 to 20% of your total budget would be going to these visibility nurture ads. The remaining 80%, 90% is going to be going to lead generation. You can absolutely add in up to 5% sales ads, but we're not going to talk about that today. The real big focus would be having the majority of your budget on lead gen and then 10 to 20% going to these visibility ads. And you just have to wrap your brain around the goal is just for more visibility. I feel like I'm repeating myself again and again and again right now, but it's hard. I just got off a call with a client who was saying that she felt like she was wasting money with these ads. Like, what's the point? And I totally, totally understand, because you're not getting new leads and you're not making sales and you're not really doing anything except getting vanity metrics. People liking and commenting and sharing your posts are kind of vanity metrics, right? But it is part of a bigger picture to increase your reach, to expand your warm audience so that it is easier to have success with your lead generation ads, and it's easier to have success with those sales ads, and it's easier to have success in the long run. It just takes a little bit of wrapping your mind around this type of ad. When you're trying to pick the content, this has come up quite a few times in like recent podcasts, so I'm not going to go too in depth in it, but I do think it's important to remember when you're picking the content to promote with an ad, it needs to be two things. It needs to be a high performing piece of content, and it needs to be the pillar content. Ads are going to amplify whatever's happening organically. So if it was high performing organically, if it did really well organically, then ads are going to amplify that success typically. And if it didn't do well organically, then ads might not help it. With these kind of ads, with driving traffic to your content, if part of the issue is the algorithm is rough right now and you're just not getting any views on anything, ads will help that. But if you have something that organically did get a lot of views, got a lot of likes and comments and shares organically, that's what you want to pick. As long as it is pillar content, that it is showing you as an expert and that the people who are going to like, comment, and share on this piece of content are the people who would want to be on your email list, who would want to purchase from you, because you can boost a post or you can promote a post of your dog all you want. If your business has nothing to do with dogs, then the people who like and comment and share the post of your dog are going to be dog lovers. They're not going to be teacher business owners looking for Facebook ad support. In my case, I don't have a dog though. So typically my example for my own personal business was like my kids or my family, which isn't going to bring me business owners looking for Facebook ad support, right? That's why you want to make sure. So more important is that it is pillar content that showcases you as an expert. And if you can find something that is a high performing, because the ads will amplify it and continue to perform well to a wider audience. Okay, so that was so much. These 2024 guide episodes, I feel like, are really, really long, but we talked about exactly what it means to be repurposing content. We talked about how and why you should use ads to help you repurpose your content and to support your content growth. And then we talked about the two different types of content ads, the difference between nurture ads and visibility ads, why both are important, when you should be using each one. I talked in that same section about how you would set up the ads, and then we finished off with exactly what content I recommend you use. I hope that this guide to Facebook ads for repurposing your content was helpful, and I will be back next Saturday with our last Saturday strategy session of 2023. I'm super excited. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening to this episode of Market Scale Grow. Every week on Saturdays, we release a new Saturday strategy session, sometimes with amazing guests. And I'm so thankful that you've taken some time out of your busy schedule to make me part of your journey. If you love this podcast, don't forget to share it with your friends and then head to your favorite podcast app to subscribe so that you won't miss next week's episode or any of the upcoming ones. And if you loved it, be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts so that other people can find this podcast and we can impact teachers and teacher business owners around the world. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back in your ears next week with another Saturday Strategy Session.